Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Gail Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P, Real Talk in the House. And this program is sponsored by P4P Super Muscle Alter Ego. Changing your mind, my voice is gone. I tell you what. Never had that happen before, but hey, there you go.
Trying to get all fancy and look what happened.
Look what happened.
Don't hurt yourself now.
Right? Well, I guess it's number one drug free. I should have took my alter ego. Huh? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go country and see if we can hold this down. If you are a drug free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, something other than a rickety porch, and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what this?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
I tell you what, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, we're going to talk. How about that?
I tell you what, we are going to talk. How are you, Kaylin? You got a little glass of water to handle that frog in your throat? Oh, poor guy. Poor guy.
Hey,
you know, and speaking of which, I'm glad you brought that up because that's a good segue, because the sale for the P4P sale on its BCAAs is getting ready to end, folks. In fact, I think it ends tomorrow. I think there's only one more day, and it's where you buy two, get one free. And I took advantage of that, stocked up, got my tropical fruit punch, all three canisters lined up on my counter. I am good to go for the next couple of months. So if you want to take advantage of that, www.p4pmuscle.com. You can use athlete code Hazel May, one word, H-A-Z-E-L-M-A-E, or Kaylin Patterson, one word, or O'Kellen of the Patterson clan. I like to call him sometimes.
There we go.
O'Kellen. We'll have to have him tell you. We'll have to have him tell you his heritage background here one of these days, and that he's actually been to Ireland. He was holding out on me. I just found out this story. So, all stories to hear. But yeah, you can save 15% if you use either of those athletes' codes, and it is free shipping on orders $75 or greater, and it's also tax-free shopping, guys. So just a lot of good stuff going on there. Great product. And I digress. I was rambling on for quite a bit there, but you know, it's good stuff. When it's good stuff, you have to share, right?
Yes, you should.
yes. And speaking of good stuff, we have got a good show for you tonight, like we always do. You know, Kaylin and I have been making a more of a concentrated effort, I think, to be showcasing our natural pros. And tonight we are delivering on that promise. And so we've got a great guest with us. She's an IPE figure pro, but she's competed in other organizations as well. And we're going to talk about her a little bit more. And she's going to share her story with you. But before we do that, it's been a busy week for P4P Real Talk, especially for O'Kellen here. We had a special show yesterday. Normally we're Tuesdays and Thursdays, but this week we're Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And last night we had I wasn't able to attend. Kaylin had a great interview, and I'm going to let him give us all the highlights before we move on with tonight's show.
Well, it was Illinois' favorite son, so I was super excited because, like, he was the first person that people were following that actually had a reason to follow. So he was unique in the fact that he had a brand that was successful, and in the natural industry, he was also one of the first sponsored athletes, which is sad to say, but it's the actual truth. Is that, there should have been more sponsored athletes back in the day, natural athletes, but they were all the sponsorships were going to the enhanced individuals. So this guy had cut a niche with that because he just had that kind of character, that charisma, that personality that just drew people in. And surprisingly, Mark Lobliner saw that he was one of the people when he was still with Cybation, and they brought him on board with the CEO of that company. And it worked out really well because Ryan just basically took to social media, and he's a really in-depth individual, and he's very knowledgeable of everything. I mean, he doesn't miss much, and that's what it takes, is somebody that's willing to have a brand, but also to protect it. You know, not the rants or social media tirades. Anything he was saying, he put value to it, and he put value in it. And so, you know, his format worked, and then he started his own supplementation company, and that became successful, and he ended up selling that. Now he's just basically traveling the world and bringing the natural community more to people that need to hear about it. Excuse me. And I said, this is what the natural industry needs, is somebody that can step out there and not be ashamed to be natural and still be able to deal with an enhanced realm in an enhanced industry, because we're not at war with anyone. Basically, we have to find our own identity. And he's found a way to do that, and I just enjoyed having him on there. And I'm sorry that, like he said, we're going to have a part two, because our conversation was so in-depth. And it's in the archives if you want to listen to it, guys. He's part three of the Three Musketeers, even though I didn't label it that way. But he's one of the ones that we've been desperately trying to get hold of. And it was so nice to do, and then actually have an engaging conversation where people were more in tune to the how and why of basically him, you know, his back. And like I said, he draws people in, and he did it for that show as well. And you figure he didn't even get to see anyone in person. So he's just got that kind of personality. And it was a great show.
And there you have it. So I'm going to be checking out the archives myself. And if you miss the name, it's Ryan Doris. So that's the name you're going to be looking for. And it was just this Tuesday, which I believe was the 26th. So look for the September 26th show with Ryan Doris, and check it out. And if you have any follow-up questions that weren't answered, let us know. And if we get him back on the show, we'll definitely get those answered again.
Oh, he'll be back on the show.
Awesome. Well, then I'll have to try and be there tonight, that night. I am here tonight.
I guess so.
I think I'm here. I think I'm here. Anyway, I am happy to be here because we are speaking with a gal that
I am too.
We've actually been working with to try and get on the show here for a little bit, but schedules finally meshed. And as I said, she's another of our natty pros that we are definitely wanting to hear more from and to learn from. And she has been tearing up the figure stage in both the Masters and Open platforms. Go figure. And Kaylin, you're so witty. So witty. And we want to hear more from Cynthia Watson. Cynthia, please say hi to everyone in listener land.
Hey, how are you doing, everybody?
Howdy.
Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I have been competing since 2012. Actually, I competed in John and Becky Arnold's show in St. Louis back then, and that was my first show, and I competed in the bikini class. So
okay.
I grew and developed, and feel like I got in the right category, and I compete in figure, and I've competed twice this year, and a total of four figure shows altogether. I got my pro card in 2015 at the Tulsa Natural Competition in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm just real excited about possibilities and how this year has gone. It's been a long season for me, and just real excited to be here right now. I actually had a few injuries as well, and so I missed part of the 2015 season after I got my pro card, and then I had another injury last year. So it's been a long haul, but I'm glad I got back to the stage this year.
Well, we're definitely happy to have you back, and that's for sure. So your career has been hustling and bustling, moving right along. And so you started out as bikini, which I find is very interesting because we do see that trend where, you know, a lot of ladies, they get introduced at the bikini level and then they absolutely fall in love with competing and they fall in love with muscle. And then they want to progress onto the next levels. Was that kind of your progression or what made you decide to make the jump from bikini to figure?
Well, I think my frame is more set for figure competition.
Oh, I concur.
And that, what'd you say?
I said I concur.
Okay, yeah. My body set is more of a figure competitor, and after that first show, that's all the feedback that I got from all the judges. You know, that I needed to compete in figure because I had too much muscle mass for a bikini. And so, and that was fine. It was challenging because the poses are different. And so I had to get a lot more leaner and everything too. But I enjoy figure competitions. And it was a nice switch. And as far as a change and everything, but I think I'm more set for figure competition as far as my body type.
Yes, and I think one of the things that happens is, you know, and we've talked about this before, Des, on prior shows, is that when women are introduced to it, they also are stepping away from an ideology or an upbringing into what women can supposedly look like, and they're not really addressing their own individual frames. I'm sorry, my dog has found somebody at the door. And it just tickles me that we're constantly fighting the myth of bro science. It even affects the female side of the industry because it seems everyone just has this understanding that women won't be able to hold on to the muscle that they gain, and they also won't be able to have the physique that would be considered high caliber. So I'm very dismayed by that kind of thinking, and I thank God that many of women are stepping past that ideology and that understanding and becoming the figures and physiques that they should be and not what people are basically designed for them, because that's what's happening, and they're basically breaking the mold that someone else created. So, hey, you know, hats off to that, Cynthia, and keep pushing, because I'm telling you, you've got the frame to hold it.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm going to keep pushing. I definitely will. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. My coach and I are working on some new goals and everything, so we're excited to see how everything will turn out in a few weeks here in November.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to maybe go out on a limb here and take a guess that you're going to be competing again in November. But before I put you on the spot with that, so kind of put that in your back pocket, I want to take a little step back and just hear more about what made you decide to step on the competition stage to begin with.
Oh, it had been suggested to me by a trainer probably when I was in my late 20s that I should compete, but that totally went in one ear and out the other. I didn't know what would be involved in competing. But I guess when I was about 40 or so, another person, she was a competitor, and she mentioned it to me. And at that time, I was going through some things, and I needed to focus and channel my energy in a positive way. So I needed a nice distraction. And so I didn't know what I was getting involved in, but I just jumped in and started working towards it. So it wasn't anything that I had, quote, like always had wanted to do. It was more like timing that it was best for me to do something positive for myself like that, do a lot of hard work and discipline and make myself a better person. So,
you know, and you hear a lot of ladies in, I think in particular, even more so than men, that when you ask them, you know, what it was that motivated them to get started, you know, they will come back with, they were ready to make a positive change in their life. And I love hearing that, you know, they turn to you know, exercise, health, you know, and in the form mm-hmm. of bodybuilding to make that change happen. And I'm also loving what I'm hearing you say is that you were 40 when you decided to really embark on your next adventure. So it sounds like you had been in the gym for several years, but then, you know, at 40 is when you decided to flip that switch and make it happen. And I love that part of it because, you know, bodybuilding is one of the few sports that it can mm-hmm. be age neutral from the standpoint that the longer you do it, the better you're going to get. And as long as, you know, you heal correctly from injuries and or your joints are still mm-hmm. hanging in there with you, barring any pre-existing conditions, you can still excel at bodybuilding at the age of 40 and or older, where in other sports, by the time you reach 40, you're kind of on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And in natural bodybuilding, you're just kind of ramping up.
Absolutely. I actually have always been an athlete. I played basketball, started out playing team sports in the fifth grade and ran track in mm-hmm. high school. So it was always something that I loved to do. It was a positive outlet for me. And I started working out in the gym setting when I came to Kansas City and I was in graduate school. I started working out at Gold's Gym. And so got around some weights then and everything. And I noticed people were training for competitions then, even back then. But I didn't know what was involved in it, but I could see people posing and everything, and I would look at that and say, like, wow, you know, that's awesome. But, yeah, I was 40 when I hit the stage in 2012, so it can be done, you know. And I don't really believe that I could do what I'm doing now as far as competing at this level at 20-something because I wouldn't have been disciplined enough or focused enough. I would have been wanting to go out and do other things, but it takes a while to get that maturity level to the point where you can be successful at this, I believe, anyway.
Yes, no, I would agree.
Well, yeah, and you know, that covers, like, a whole range of things. And what I like is that you're willing to be open about it, but what we need to focus on is that there's an understanding that, you know, everybody is unique. And I think one of the things that has been falsely placed out there is about, you know, the body basically gets older. Because I've done some research, and what I'm finding is that, you know, we mature our bodies if we use them. And there are a lot mm-hmm. of people that have done some very bad things to their body, via drugs, via, you know, poor diet, starvation diet, that, you know, and we've been learning this in Bible study, you know, you reap what you
mm-hmm.
sow. And there's
right.
a lot of people that have been out there abusing their bodies, via alcohol, via drug use, via overwork, you know, lack of sleep. There's so many variables that are in there. But it takes its toll on the body. And you know, what I'm learning through the research that I've been doing is that payment has to come. And it's always going to come as we, you know, down the road, because our bodies are either trying to adjust or haven't been broken down to the point where you actually start to feel it. Because mm-hmm. the thing that I learned fully is that at 40% is when you feel pain. Think about that. 40%. You're already under
Hello?
Halfway. So your body's already in suffering. So, you know, I see a lot of our, you know, elite figures in the industry on the natural side are basically having these surgeries because their bodies are just worn out. And it's sad to say that it's a lot of improper form and incorrect movement,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the body found a way to compensate for so long, and then finally it couldn't endure it any longer. So, you know, the fountain of youth is basically taking care of your body, but also taking care of your health. And that's the blessing. I mean, that's the true blessing mm-hmm. of any natural athlete that really intends to be a natural athlete, because we have some, and you know, I think they used to have a term for politicians that didn't match up with who they were, where they say they were a rhino or a dino, so basically a Democrat in name only or a Republican in name only. Well, let's say we have naturals, so ninos, You know, they're mm-hmm. naturals in name only. So they have the intent to basically have that following of natural individuals so they can follow them, you know, on the social media. But their true heart is basically in the enhanced realm. So, you know, their bodies will show, and, you know, there's been plenty of enhanced arenas I've been, and you see the weathered, I don't want to call them athletes because they're basically drug users. So mm-hmm. you see what the drug or the abuse has done to the body over a long period of time. So when we have to think about that, you know, you've done the work. Your body's basically appreciated, and it might have matured at a different rate than others that you know, but you're mm-hmm. doing something that's sustainable. And I think that's the one thing that we tend to forget, because it's never spoken of in that fashion. And I'll pass it over to Des, because I probably started rambling.
No, I mean, I think, you know, when you, again, just talking about the sport and the agelessness of it, that's just another aspect to always keep in mind and the benefits of it. So, you know, there we go. Team Natty, we have it. And we also have some questions from our listeners that are piling up on us, Cynthia. So I'm going to start to address some of these.
Okay.
Lana wants to know, how did your workouts and diet change when you transition from bikini to figure?
I actually, that's a good question, because when I was competing in bikini in 2012, I had a different philosophy for a coach as far as a coach's philosophy, and the diet was different. I actually ate less food. However, and now my protein intake and all of the amount of food that I eat is a lot greater than what I ate when I was competing in bikini at that point. So the amount of food is more at this point, but another thing that's different is that I'm using the flexible dieting method right now.
Mm-hmm.
If it fits within my macros. So I have a little more variety. And as far as calculating everything that I intake, I know exactly how many carbs, proteins, fats that I'm eating. And it's a lot of work to calculate everything, but that is a difference compared to what I did when I was a bikini competitor.
All right, very cool. And just so, I think most of you have got this, but if you're not familiar, so flexible dieting, or you've heard the phrase, if it fits your macros, if it fits my macros. So it's basically being able to pick the kinds of foods that you want to eat, as long as the way that they're made up, as far as grams of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, fit a certain number. So you have a mm-hmm. target number of protein grams, carbohydrate grams, and fat grams that you're shooting for versus, you know, you have diets that maybe you're only going to eat these five foods, and it might be egg whites, tilapia, broccoli, green beans, and peanut butter, and that's it. And that's your whole diet, which some people, they're cool with that because they could eat the same thing over and over, and others are just like, oh, my gosh, what are you trying to do to me? So the flexible dieting lets you choose foods that you like, and, you know, they're still pretty clean, folks. I mean, that's how you're going to make progress, mm-hmm. but you're able to choose foods that you like or that work well with you, and you hit your targets or your numbers, which Cynthia's right. It does take some work, but it's well worth it. And I think, me personally, I find that a more enjoyable way to diet when you're able to do that instead of being
I do too,
locked
and
in
I feel
and just like
that. Right, and I do too, and I feel like it's more sustainable at this point for me.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I can continue in the off season as well. So I enjoy this approach.
Yep,
very
I'm
much.
With you. I'm with you. All right, so we have some listeners that have been checking out your GAMS, and Sarah wants to know, have your legs – that's right, we're looking. Have your legs always been so fit, or did you have to work them from day one harder than maybe other parts of your body to get them to the place they are now?
Well, I've always had a muscular frame, and I think my legs actually were able to be improved or get built better because I was a track runner. And I do train my legs twice a week right now. But as far as from the ground up, I've always wanted to run. And that's I sprinted. I was a sprinter, 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash. And so I think that was a good foundation for me as far as building my legs to the point where they are now. So it's a progression.
That would definitely explain those quads.
Yeah, definitely a progression, and I work at it. Thank you, Kaylin.
You're welcome.
Ah, shoot. All right, so Linda wants to know, at age 40, how in the heck did you find the motivation to even want to start? So we know that, you know, you had referenced that life was kind of hitting with you within some with some stuff, but, you know, how did you, I guess, find that inner something that said, all right, I'm gonna take this and make it something positive.
Once I decided I was gonna do it, I basically told everybody, you know, let it out. So then, at that point, I felt like I couldn't go back because everybody was gonna hold me accountable to it. So that helped.
Yep.
But also, I've got I connect to God and He gives me purpose in life, and He's used bodybuilding and exercise as a way for me to cope with things. And so it's a lot deeper for me as far as preparation and everything. I have struggled with, like, issues of depression and anxiety for most of my adult life. However, tapping into bodybuilding and focusing all my energy on something positive, lifting those weights and everything, it's helped me to cope with all that. So it's a lot deeper, and it's a spiritual thing too. You know, it's for my emotional health, my physical health. That sustains my motivation. And as far as health goes, I'm also a 12-year cancer survivor. So it's very important to me to keep my body in shape, keep my mind focused and at ease. So all of that is wrapped up into motivation for me at this point. It always has been. And once I decide to do something, it's pretty much done.
Yes.
So it wasn't the fact that I was 40. It's just a matter of that's just how I roll. And I thank God that He's gotten me to this point.
Well, let's step back on that because, you know, we had a series on the show about, you know, suicide prevention and basically how to basically address the people that are mentally suffering because if you're not paying attention, you will miss it. I mean, let's just be honest.
Right.
Things like what you're talking about are what have been driving people constantly off the edge because they don't have that outlet. So when you talk about the iron therapy, could you just delve into that a little bit more so they can understand how it does bring sanity when it seems like you're torturing yourself to everybody on the outside world?
Sure. You know, they talk about endorphins and when you are releasing endorphins and you're in a zone, I can lose myself in a positive way at the gym. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can put on my my music and go through my routine, my workout, and end up being satisfied and happy. There's nothing like being able to release aggression, anxiety, or sadness and feeling accomplished after you finish that workout. And maybe the down feeling that you were experiencing and were feeling, they're gone. They may come back, but, you know, that's part of the struggle. It can be done, and I've always enjoyed athletics, and it's been an outlet for me as well as music. So it's really something that I would suggest everybody take advantage of, because when I'm stressed out and I can't focus or I can't have a good night's sleep, let me go to the gym and a lot of that is resolved.
So
and that's
true.
Great. I mean, and that it's that way for a lot of people. I mean, and there are some folks who are like, nope, I don't feel happy after I work out. But that's like the minority versus the majority. So, I'm fully in agreement with that. So I'm going to kind of transition topics here. You know, it's always so hard when you get to those really key kind of serious points in a conversation, and then you're like, well, where do I go from here? But we're gonna transition there, because I think you answered that very well and very thoughtfully. But I think we also have some listeners that are probably fans of yours already, and Belinda is one of them, and she wants to know if your social media following, you know, it's pretty substantial on several fronts. She wants to know if you planned for it to be that way. Have you been working to grow your following, or is that something that just kind of happened organically?
I think it just kind of something that happened. I don't have a large competitor base as far as support system that I see on a regular basis. I have a few competitors that I'm friends with. A lot of them I'm just Facebook friends with, but I get motivated by their posts. Hopefully I motivate them as well. And it's helped me to reach out and connect some people I've never met before outside of Facebook or social media, but we get online and chat and we encourage one another. So it's something that happened organically. And I know I've got a lot of contacts via Facebook, but I got more once I moved. I relocated to the East Coast from Kansas City, Missouri back in March. And so at that point, I didn't really know anybody here as far as the bodybuilding community. And so social media has helped me to connect and get a good network of support here. So it's not anything that I had planned. It did happen organically.
Okay,
very good. And so I want to pick up real quick on something, though, that you just said, because you had reminded me that you relocated because you lived in the Midwest for many years. And so your move is kind of... Yeah, 27. Yeah, that's a long time. That's like a whole lifetime for some of us.
I know.
And then you moved. So how does that impact your, I guess, training?
It made it crazy. Because I had already started training. Yeah, for real. I started training back in November for this season. And then I realized that I got the promotion and I had to move. And at that point, I was working, by that time, I was working with Brian Allstrom, my coach, and he's out of Iowa. And so I didn't need to get a new coach, per se, because we just correspond online and everything. But I had to get a different gym. But I was on the ball pretty well before I left. I was already contacting gym to figure out where I could go, what gym was 24 hours, because now there's a commute. I have to be at the subway an hour before I get to work, and my schedule changed. And it even got to the point at one point that I had called Coach up and said, I think I'm gonna wait. I'm going to make my pro debut in 2018, because it was just so stressful. All the change and everything, new career. I had been working as a social worker, now more in a total administrative role. And a new city, didn't know so many people. So it was a big adjustment for me. And
gotcha.
Then
and I imagine so. Go ahead.
No,
go
ahead.
I was just going to say, so I know you were able to retain Brian Allstrom, so virtual training there. But I think, you know, there are probably some other aspects of show prep that you had to transition, though, fully and find local resources for.
Absolutely. I started reaching out. I reached out to on social media to people I really didn't know, but people that encouraged me to contact Philip Ricardo Jr. and Marshall Johnson. I just reached out to them because they live on the East Coast for a while now, and asked them about posing coaches. And they gave me some names. I contacted a few of them and decided that I wanted to go with Nicole Carrasco. She's in Richmond, Virginia. And then that was another task, making the decision to drive 2.5 hours to posing practice, where I'd only had to drive about 25, 30 minutes to posing practice when I was in Kansas City. So that was an adjustment. And then as far as backstage help, I've got a college friend that lives here, and so she went to posing practice with me and learned what I needed to get help with backstage and what to look for. And so when I went to my two shows here in on the East Coast, one in Maryland, the other in Virginia, she stayed with me overnight in the hotel, helped me get everything together, make sure I got my food on time, timing was perfect and everything. So it's been a huge adjustment, but it's been worth it, and I'm glad that I immediately got some contacts and reached out to people and didn't isolate myself and think, well, I can't do this because too much change, you know. I'm glad that I proceeded and went forward with it. I'm glad I didn't wait to make my pro debut in 2018, because you just never know, you know. You delay some things, and things sometimes don't happen the way you want them to happen. So I'm glad that I went ahead and got things taken care of.
Well, I'm glad
and
to
I'm
hear
so thankful
that...
to everybody. I was going
to
say, I'm so thankful to everybody that reached out to me and helped me.
So, I mean, it's awesome.
Go ahead, Desiree.
Well, the natural community is very, you know, I think very helpful in that sense anyway. But, you know, that you were able to find that experience on social media from people that you didn't know, I mean, I think that's very encouraging as well. And, you know, I do tip hats off to you. All of these different changes you were going through, but you made up your mind that, you know what, I'm not going to let it deter me. And you put all of the right steps in place to be successful. And you did your homework ahead of time, you know, to make sure that you were going to have a gym that fits your schedule and finding the resources and making that work. So, I mean, it's definitely an effort. You had to put in the work, but you made it happen. And I think that dovetails with the next question we have from our listener. Timothy wants to know how you've been able to balance your pro life on stage with your professional career thus far.
Okay. Let's see. Thus far, it's been a matter of scheduling and prayer, too, because sometimes I get just a few hours of sleep, especially when I have to get to the office by 6. I'll get up around 1 o'clock in the morning, meaning that I go to bed around 6 or 7, hopefully. But if I have to prep food midweek, then I go to bed a little bit later. But it's a difficult balance. I work one full-time job right now, and so it's just a matter of scheduling, staying on top of things, and prayer. When I get too stressed out and feeling like things are piling up, so to speak, I know that the culprit is that I'm making that a priority and not my relationship with God. So I got to get back into the Word, get calmed down, get settled within myself, get grounded again, and then I'm able to do the work that I need to do. But when I get to the point where I'm just running here and there and I'm wondering why, it's because I didn't take time to pray or read the Word. And that helps me balance things.
And that's so true. I mean, like I said, we've been doing Bible study, and one of the biggest things that, you know, basically, because, you know, like, I shared this, the video speaking of Brian Doors, and I tied that into our Bible study lesson because it was about distractions. You know, everybody's, you know, almost completed goal basically distracts us from the goal that we have down the road, because your finished product looks better than my work in progress. And because of that, you know, it deflects my attention from where it should be, which is still my goal. I mean, because, you know, I used to tell people thousands of times, I said, don't get so caught up in my workout, you forget to do yours. Because there's plenty of times where you have someone that has the potential to be a phenomenal individual in any sport they choose if they could focus on actually doing it. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, what the Winston said, that therein lies the rub, because, you know, how do we get into something if we're steadily basically distracted by something else? And you basically found that balance, and I'm glad you shared that, because, you know, that's a big thing. You know, a lot of people start exercising because there's a true concern for their health, but they don't sustain it because they don't see the value in it, because the balance right. just isn't there to make that happen. So, you know, when you're talking about balance and prayer, that, you know, it's not just us three doing it. It's something that, you know, is sustained by a lot of people in a lot of different professions that aren't included into natural bodybuilding, but it is shown to work in all those careers.
Right. And I feel like I don't practice social work per se right now, but all the things that I did as a social worker, as far as tapping into resources, having good boundaries with others, looking for positive things to do, and managing my time well, juggling things, all those skill sets transferred into bodybuilding as far as balancing that and being a successful bodybuilder and making sure it doesn't just take hold of my life altogether. I need that balance. And my skill as a social worker as far as those type of things, looking into resources helped me, I think, to keep things balanced.
And that's good. And I'm glad to hear that correlation, because there are so many practical applications in life that do transfer between, you know, the effort that you put into being a competitive bodybuilder and then the other half of your life. The everyday life, we'll call it. So, I mean, I'm very encouraged by that. So let's talk about that a little bit. So you're a pro now. You've competed in a couple of pro shows. Would love to hear about how you did in those shows and then how your experience as a pro has been thus far and the differences you've seen between being an amateur competitor and a pro competitor.
Okay. I competed in two shows in August, this past August, first being an NGA show, Dave Spindle Classic, and I competed twice in that show. I got a second place in Masters Pro and a third place in Open Pro, and that was the first time that I stepped on stage since 2015. So it was a good experience for me. It helped get out all the jitters and everything at that point. And it helped me to meet some more competitors as well. 2 weeks later, I competed at the IPA League of Champions, I believe. And so I did win first place in that show. I feel like I improved just in those 2 weeks. Brian and I were working on my posing. That's something that he told me to focus on more, is my posing. So I do feel like in those 2 weeks I came back a little bit more tighter and leaner too. But that was a good show as well. And as far as the difference in how I am as how I was as an amateur and now as a pro, I just feel like I'm more accountable to myself. I'm more focused, driven. I try to be more mature about my goals, meaning that in the past, and sometimes currently too, however, but my goal is to always just win. And if I'm not going to win, then what the value is in the prep? So now I'm looking at it a little more holistically and have more perspective. you know, what do I need to improve on? And did I improve on this as compared to the last show? So my goals are I just have a little more perspective on goal setting at this point. My number one goal is always to remain injury free. I've got some injuries, some old injuries that I manage. So that's number one, stay injury free so I can continue to do this well after I stop hitting the stage. I want to continue to be able to exercise. So definitely goal setting is different for me now as a pro compared to as an amateur. And I'm more serious minded. And I'm more apt to reach out to other competitors, because it's important to me to have that network of friend and support. Back then, I didn't really have that, but I didn't know that that was a hindrance per se. Now I know I need that to sustain where I'm at and continue to go forth and everything. So that's how things have changed for me.
And you know, I love the fact that you said that you reached out to Marshall Johnson. And we've had him on the show. I've actually had a chance to speak to him on many occasions, you know, in person as well as on the show. And he definitely is driven by the Holy Spirit to basically give that outpouring and giving of information that is necessary for the body and the soul. And, you know, when you're talking about what you're saying, you know, there's a sanity and a peace that is hard to understand if you're not in it. And, you know, just watching Marshall when he's on stage, and he doesn't become a different person. He just becomes more amplified of who he is. And I think that's what, you know, God does with all of us, is we all have our own unique gifts, but they can be amplified if we do them correctly in his name. And I really think that if we, as true believers, if we could basically find a way, take those distractions out of our day, we will become better athletes. Because if God loves his children, and we know he does, then he's going to make sure that we're good at our gifts. And like you said, you know, there's plenty of people that love natural bodybuilding, but they just love being in the audience. There's people that love being part of bodybuilding, but they love just applying the tan. I mean, there's plenty of people that are out there that are doing their job. And if we're supposed to be the natural athlete realm of it, then maybe the distractions that are getting in our way are what is keeping the industry from becoming as successful as it is. And I know that no man is an island, that we basically have to cover our end, and I'm glad to see that you're so willing to do that. So, you know, when you're talking to Marshall and you're sharing that information and you're getting all these things, that's got to be a nice little leaning post where if the times get tough, you know you got somewhere to go.
Exactly. And that is so true, because one thing that I realized as an amateur, people had said this, but I really experienced it. For me, at times, bodybuilding is a lonely sport, you know, and I spend a lot of time in the gym. But I don't have a gym partner per se, so I'm there by myself. And when I say it's a lonely sport as well, balancing work, competing, and your social life, you know, that sometimes that's what I'm saying, what social life. That will go in the back burner too. And so it is a lonely sport. And so the people that will come into your life and walk into your life and be helpful and genuine to you and genuinely want to help you and encourage you, that makes life easier.
Mm-hmm.
It truly does. It truly does. And I've got a lot of people to thank and that God has placed in my life. Back home in Kansas City, back to my hometown in Eolia, Missouri. I want to shout out to the Eolians. And here on the East Coast, too. I know you're going to say what, but yeah, I'm from a small town called Eolia, Missouri. 400 people were there when I was growing up. I think about the same were there now. But that was my upbringing, you know, rural Midwest. And so I've got a lot of people to thank for people that for where I'm at, for where I am right now. And it helps. I may not see them as often right now because I'm on the East Coast, but, you know, all you got to do is just bring them into your mind, and they're there. They're watching over you. So that's how I feel about it anyway.
Well, and that's the right way to feel. And you know we are going to have time for shout-outs tonight, so you can definitely spend some more time on sharing the love with the Aeolians. I kind of feel that's kind of like almost a Star Wars thing. I feel like we're going to another planet. But before we blast off, I'm finally going to get back to the question that I tabled at the very beginning of this show and ask you, so – you've had a couple of successful competitions this year, so congratulations. What do you have? What's next on deck for Cynthia Watson?
Well, we got about 6 weeks left, and I plan on hitting the stage November 11th for the IPE World Championship. It's back home in Kansas City.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to getting back home, seeing my peeps, and hitting the stage at that level, too. So I'm excited. That was a goal of mine back when I started training, which was back in November of last year. So it's here. It's almost time. It's been a long prep. I've been in a slow cut since November of 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been in a cut since last November. So I'm ready to eat pizza, but I'm going to delay it a few more weeks, though.
Just a few more weeks. Just a few more.
Yeah.
Stay focused. You got it. All right. Let's get in our rocket ship. Let's give our shout-outs, and let's start with the Aeolians. Go ahead and give a shout-out to anyone and everyone who has helped you along this journey.
Well, definitely want to give a shout out to Mom and Dad. They are my rock. They have prepared me well for the time that I'm at, for where I am right now. They take good care of me. They always have. I'm the baby of the family, so yada, yada, yada. They spoil me. But I really do appreciate my parents and how they have supported me. Sometimes they don't understand why I'm doing this as far as bodybuilding, but they still support me.
No one does.
Yeah, no one does. Yeah, but
yeah.
But that's what it is. And then I want to give a shout out to all the Macedonians at my church back in Kansas City, Macedonia Baptist Church on Linwood, and all my sorors from Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I've got, Soror Sequita, Soror Donna Watson, my friend Tanya Titus there, my good friend here in D.C. who is a Delta, yes, AKAs and Deltas can get along, Julie Love and her husband. They've really just embraced me when I've been here in D.C., took me out. And like I say, Julie was my honorary coach, helped me backstage and everything. Never been around bodybuilding any time in her lifetime. But she got a lot of wealth of knowledge in the past few weeks. I want to give a shout-out to Brian Allstrom and Team AFC. That's right. And let's see, who else? How long we got for me to do this?
No, you got some more minutes, girl. Go for it.
I got some more minutes.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, Nicole, my posing coach. I want to give a shout-out to her. I want to give a shout-out to a lot of the competitors in KC. We call her Marie Sally. That's her Facebook name anyway. She knows that I'm calling her out. But I really just want to express a lot of appreciation to everybody. So it has taken a lot of people to get me to where I am, and I appreciate it.
very much so.
Well, hey, you saw my post that I put at the beginning of the week, and there's no way I can take credit for me. You know, I can take credit for the choices I've been given, but I can't take credit for me because there's so many people involved. And I said, I even made a status about that, about it, how I know it sounds un-American, but there's so many we that goes in making up an I. And
yes,
we don't truly understand that, and we don't truly understand natural bodybuilding. And I'm so thankful that you're being a great ambassador for that. So thank you so much, and I'm going to pass it to Des for the final word.
Okay.
And the final word is just thanks again. I've enjoyed just learning more about you, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you in 6 weeks. Midwest Muscle is definitely going to try and be there to cover all of the pros. So looking forward to getting you on camera and interviewing again. So get out there and do your thing, Miss Thing.
I appreciate it. I appreciate both of you all and all the support, having me on, and how you all support natural bodybuilding. And Kaylin, I did see your post, and it touched my heart. And I appreciated that you shared that information on that post. So thank you, and God bless you both.
And God bless you as well.
Thank you. No doubt. So on behalf of Cynthia, myself, Kaylin. Oh, Kaylin, got to get your snickerdoodle shout out in.
Snickerdoodle number one. And quit buying it, people. We're out.
Hashtag chocolate way for the win. So, and also on behalf of the boys at P4P Muscles, your body is a temple. So let's build it.